This is Dr. Tim Turlop from Turlop Chiropractic inviting you to join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality. Each week we'll be addressing topics that are ultimately important to your health and to mine. Topics about prevention of disease, expressing greater well-being, more mobility, and vitality overall. Join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
Well, look at there. It is Wednesday morning. Your 30 Minutes to Vitality is here till 12 o'clock with none other than Dr. Tim Turlop, who's in our studios live. He's here because of you. And of course, this program brought to you by Turlop Chiropractic, found in Spring Hill, North Cliff Boulevard, just a little east of US 19, Spring Hill, Florida. You can find him online at Turlop Chiropractic, drturlop.com, or Google Turlop Chiropractic, drturlep.com. We'll get you there directly and call his office today to make your next appointment. He is our doctor that we recommend here in our studios at 99.9 WXJB. So without further ado, it is your 30 Minutes of Vitality. Dr. Tim Turlop in our studios till noon. Doctor, get her done.
Get her done. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a wonderful Wednesday morning, and this is 30 Minutes of Vitality, where we reiterate every single week we were built and are built to be vital. We're just getting interference, right? Interference, that normal vital expression. Remove the stuff that we don't need. Add the stuff that we do, and you get vitality. It's a cool thing.
And just that simple.
It's that simple. Yeah. It really, really is. And it's kind of exciting this morning. There's, you know, we're still in the midst of, you know, this opening up thing and the whole COVID nonsense, et cetera. And there's some really neat research that I wanted to touch on that actually we've talked many, many times, and we're going to talk one more time a little bit about vitamin D.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's some really great studies that are coming out relative to vitamin D and looking at viral infections. And what is this, you know, the SARS-CoV-2, what is it but a virus, right? Mm-hmm. So and it's not that unique. It's a pneumonia respiratory virus, and then there you go, right? So the studies that are coming out, there was a really interesting one that came out of a university in Ireland that was looking at populations, and we all know, most of us know, maybe I'm overstating the obvious, that this, unfortunately, is the most hazardous if we're 80 years old and older.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's where the vast preponderance of mortality comes from, all that good kind of stuff, right? Matter of fact, we even know that in our nation now that greater than 50% of all the mortalities happened in our nursing homes and our ALFs, right? More than half, right, of everything. Wow, that's a lot, right? So yeah. And it's the older population is at greater risk. And so the folks at this university in Ireland, I can't actually do the expression. Yeah. No. I can't do an Irish accent. I can't begin to. Right. But and all those good things. Right. But they looked at the populations. They looked at 20 different countries throughout Europe. Mm-hmm. And they were looking at people, and they were looking at specifically the serologic levels or the blood levels of vitamin D, which, as we've mentioned before, is the way to know whether you are, the fancy word that we use is sufficient, mm-hmm. whether you've got vitamin D sufficiency. Right. Mm-hmm. So, right. So that's one of the things they were looking at, was to see, you know, the different levels. And what they actually found was pretty startling, right? Which was amazing, because the people that actually exhibited the greatest and most severe disease and the highest levels of mortality were, of course, people over 80, mm-hmm. right? But also those people over 80 who had the lowest vitamin D levels, right? When they had higher levels of vitamin D, they did not suffer mortality nearly, I mean, not just a little bit, but significant, which we'll get into a second study in just a minute. Okay. And guess where they found the lowest, the oldest population with the, I'm talking through the basement floor levels of vitamin D at 10, holy 12, 14, when we should be up at 45 to 60, mm-hmm. right? And they found them way down at 10, 12, 15 in their blood. Guess where those people were and the mortality was the highest?
Those that are inside all the time, like nursing homes.
And well, actually, in those countries, it was Northern Italy.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And Spain, and the places where we saw the mortality being the most dramatic and the most people dying was the older people who had the lowest vitamin D levels of all.
Okay.
Right? Which was amazing. Uh-huh. And they could actually show that relative to that, that the countries that had the greatest mortality in their older population had the most significantly low vitamin D levels in their blood.
Interesting. I'm interested to find out why.
Interesting. Yes. Right? And another study that was looking at was a relatively small study, but they were looking at vitamin D levels in, again, people who just had the disease. So really distinctly different, not prevention of the disease per se, right? But the people who actually got it. And they were looking and they divided them into four categories. People who had a mild case, people who had what they would call a conventional or a standard progression of the case, people who had a severe case, or people who were critical,
right?
And then they were looking at the vitamin D levels of those people in those four different categories. And they had three different groups. Under 20, remember the measurement is nanograms per deciliter in the States is what we use to measure it. But we'll just use a number. We don't need to get into the fancy measurements and the names. So again, we have normal is 45 to 60 is where we want us to be. So they were looking at people who are under 20, between 20 and 30, and people who are over 30. Now, let's get to the good news first.
Okay.
Because the great, the good news is great news, right? Yeah. Because what they found was people who had vitamin D levels over 30, literally 98% of them could, I mean, you could almost guarantee that if you got it and your vitamin D level is over 30, you were going to have a mild case. So what's your risk of mortality in a mild case? Say none.
Yeah.
Next to none. I mean, it's virtually 2% not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
But 98% of the people had a mild progression of the disease. So if they got it, they got a mild case.
Oh, I see. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So if your vitamin D level is over 30 and you happen to get the stuff, you're going to have a mild case.
Yeah.
I mean, I can almost, based on this study, I can almost guarantee that, right? If your vitamin D level was between 20 and 30, right, there's the significant percentage got a moderate case, right? The people who actually had severe and critical cases, upwards of 60% of them in that category, had vitamin D levels under 20. The next huge group was between 20 and 30, and it was like 2% actually had vitamin D levels greater than 30. So literally completely the inverse.
Yes.
It was, you were 800% more likely to have a severe case if your vitamin D levels were under 20. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Right? Does that sound good or what?
It's eye-opening.
It's eye-opening. Right? And as we're looking at this stuff coming out, it just made me say, let's talk again generally about the importance of vitamin D, because is this, again, just underscoring the necessity to make sure that our vitamin D levels are optimized? Absolutely. And there were two studies that were done, and again, doesn't matter where, if anybody's curious, let me know. I can certainly give you the studies, right, that happened before all this outbreaky stuff happened, that was literally looking at our population of older people, and forgive me that we're calling older over 65, I ain't that far away from that, for gosh sakes, right? But people over 65, we actually saw that if their vitamin D levels were significantly optimized, right, that they actually had greater than a 50% reduction in the risk, even the potential of even getting an upper respiratory infection, including pneumonia. Wow. Right. So we know, again, that you're going to, there's a preventive aspect to these respiratory problems. And then if you get it and you're actually optimized, it's going to be almost a guarantee it's going to be a mild case. That's critical. And what's amazing, that you've got the studies, but you have to be a geek, somewhat like me. You got to be a geek who's looking at the research to hear it, because you don't hear any of that anywhere on the popular media. It's nowhere there, because guys, forgive me, there's no way anybody can make any money by you optimizing your vitamin D levels, because it's so inexpensive and so incredibly safe. All right. So we talk about, you know, they talk about this drug and that drug and that, and the development of this vaccine, but the potential side effects and moving past human trials too rapidly and this and that and all the stuff that happens and all the potential hazards of doing that, then they're essentially, I can't say with all sincerity and veracity that there is no risk. I mean, but you'd have to deliberately almost take so much vitamin D that you're trying to hurt yourself. You'd be like, going, let me commit death by vitamin D and I'll OD. I'm going to take like 10 of these tablets every day.
Right.
And you'd be like, okay, right. You deliberately have to set out to hurt yourself. There's almost no risk. There's no downside to this. And there's essentially no cost. Wow. But we don't hear about that.
No.
Right. So this is really significant stuff to make sure. So if we were just doing it based on the stuff and the occasional time that we talk about vitamin D and its many, many health benefits, right? And what it can do for us in general, if we were doing that before we went into this, I mean, you can be pretty comfortable and going, I'm not, it's not like having, you're not Superman with an S on your chest and shoot bullets at me.
Right.
But you are in a significantly greater and safer position than someone who's not. Now, that someone who's not is most of us. Because if we look at the research again, 85% of Americans, 85% of us are deficient. That's the vast majority of us don't have our vitamin D levels where they need to be. And when, if you heard the number when we said over 30 could almost guarantee you a mild course if you got it, over 30 would give you greater than 50% protection against an upper respiratory infection, including pneumonia. When I just said that where we want you to optimize at is literally double that. We don't even have the research looking at what happens to people who are at 35 and 40 and 45 and 50 and 55, right?
Right.
The chemo protection that will come from that, based on what we're seeing, is going to be even higher. And we've got other studies that show that with various cancers, et cetera, and I won't get into that. But we know that it raises, and we can actually see that. It's called a dose-dependent response. And we actually have seen that in other conditions, and there's no reason why we wouldn't expect that to transpire here. It's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing.
I'm dumbfounded. Why haven't you heard this before?
Well, my wife loses the founded part of me. She just says dumb.
Although you do, every time you come in, every week, 11:30 to 12, you do mention or at least make it aware of the fact that vitamin D is so important.
I probably try to at least touch on it once a month.
Right, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because it is one of the safest, least expensive, effective strategies that we can use to actually optimize our health and well-being. Mm. When I used to actually have a little bit more respect for the WHO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Who? Well, yeah, which is actually significantly down right now. Mm-hmm. They're not out for the count, but it's not a great thing at this point, in my opinion. But it's still a decent organization that does some good, mm-hmm. right? Regardless of whatever the political nonsense that can surround that.
Right.
That's a melee that I don't want to get into.
Very
good. Right? But one of the things that about, oh, gracious, if someone checks one of the fact checker people, right? So if someone fact checks me on this one, right? I don't know if I'm going to get my time frame right, but it's like 3 to 4 years ago, they literally made the statement that the single most important health strategy the world could take to optimize well-being is to optimize vitamin D levels. Mm. That's important.
It is.
That's significant. Right. And had we been doing that prior to this, because not just Dr. Turla, but hopefully somebody who's listening is doing it, right? You're going to be in such a significantly better state than you are if you hadn't been doing this, which is amazing. So what's the best way, first of all, to get vitamin D? Because vitamin D, people think of it, because sometimes today we'll think, those of us who've heard about it will think, oh, well, then I take a supplement, right? Right. The best way to get it, literally the best way, is in the sun.
Yes.
Right. To get out in the sun. And get exposed, right? And as much of your body as you can, hands, face, not quite enough. I mean, if you want to be in a pair of shorts and you can expose your legs, mm-hmm. If you're a gentleman, you can take off your shirt for half an hour in the sun. Perfect, right? If you're a lady and you can wear,
tank top or spaghetti thing or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. I've got four women in my family and I can't think of what that's called, for goodness sake. I must not have been listening very hard, right? But to be able to expose as much of our bodies as we can to the sun. And the first thing that people will say, I mean, literally every single time we talk to a patient with this, they'll say, yeah, but what about skin cancer? And it is literally the first, it's almost like a reflex. It's like I've tapped someone's knee and their leg bounces out. Uh-huh. I mentioned going out in the sun. They go, what about skin cancer?
That's what we've been taught our entire life.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, nonsense.
I know.
Right? It really, really is. The current body of research is showing that that's not true. As a matter of fact, we're actually seeing in the newer research that actually sun exposure, again, the fancy word is chemoprotective, mm-hmm. is actually protective against skin cancer. Right? Crazy. Even the one that's the worst skin cancer, melanomas,
mm-hmm.
right, where we have that. We've got a huge European study that came out last year that indicated that the people who have the lowest rates of melanoma have the greatest sun exposure. Those that actually have the highest rates of melanoma typically are office workers, people who are not outside, and in parts of their body that never get exposed to the sun. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, right? And one place that always comes to mind, a certain country, is Australia, because we know that skin cancer was prevalent there for a number of years, but the COVID rates are low in Australia.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a great point.
Right.
Right? So skin cancer, and where sun exposure is a problem for cancer, is burning.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the only exception to what I'm saying.
Right.
Don't burn.
No.
Just don't burn, and you'll be perfectly safe. We literally, as I've mentioned before, when we've had programs on vitamin D, we literally make it a point to go outdoors for that specific reason. Right? My neighbor probably going to go, goes, what's Dr. Turlip doing in his side yard, like laying out there with, like, in a pair of shorts again for 45
showing
minutes?
Showing off his guns.
Yeah. Yeah. What guns? Right? What are they called? It'd be a derringer is what they are. He's showing off his derringers.
Right? The Rock.
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. That's me. Right? So, but it because it's very deliberate, but I don't get burned.
Right.
Right? That's the key to that. Now, if you don't want to go in the sun, if that's a problem for whatever reason, supplementation is the best, next best thing to be, next best thing to being there, right? As the old commercial used to say, right? So, and we want to use vitamin D3. There are two different types of vitamin D, D2 and D3. D3 has been found to be not just a little more effective than D2, but completely more effective. So D2 is actually man-made. Like we've talked about with supplements before, the man-made stuff tends to never be as good.
Right.
Right. And D2 is the synthetic form that actually pharmaceutical companies came up with so they could actually patent it and blah, blah, blah. Right. And when it's prescribed, it's called Drizdol. Somebody who might be taking Drizdol. It is not nearly as effective as vitamin D3. So we're going to take vitamin, and good news is vitamin D3, cheaper.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Cheaper, yeah. More effective. I like it. Right, so we want to make sure we're doing D3, and that is what you'll find if you're not taking a prescription. Right, so we want to get a vitamin D3 supplement. Right, and the dose is going to be dependent on your blood levels. So if you said, you know, I'm just going to take some, you know, and you took 2,000 units a day, fantastic. Right, can that be helpful? Yes. Is it going to be optimal? I can't say yes or no because I don't have your blood levels. Right, I need to see what you've serologically, what you're demonstrating to see whether you're sufficient or not, because I want you between 45 and 60. And the beauty is when I keep them, I look at that, it doesn't matter what the dose is. The research is very clear. So whether it only takes me 400 IUs to actually get up to that level, or it takes me 10,000 IUs, it doesn't matter. It's safe. As long as my levels are there and I'm not blowing past that and I'm not up at 190 on my blood level, right? Even there, the side effects that we actually are measuring are very negligible in a very small group of people. Mm. It's unbelievably safe. So if we're actually having you at those levels, boy, we can go, and it took me, for you, JW, let's say, we had to put you on 10,000 units to get you to 54.
Right.
Okay, great. You stay at 54, taking 10,000. We're perfectly fantastic.
Okay.
Right, there are places you'll read that that's unsafe and don't do that. And it's difficult and oh my goodness, it's not. It's not. As long as serologically we know you're there in that range, we're great. We're golden, right? So we don't have to worry about that. So that's when we take it. And why would we want to do this other than, you know, COVID-19 and, you know, decreasing the chance of dying or decreasing the chance of getting an upper respiratory? What other things does it do? What's the old poem? Let me count the ways.
Yeah.
Right. It goes through. So does it significantly, does low vitamin D status significantly correlate with a risk for type 2 diabetes? It does. Matter of fact, there's research that shows that a low vitamin D status is more predictive of your potential for type 2 diabetes than your body habitus, than whether or not you're overweight or obese. No, come on. That can't be true.
Right.
I'm just reporting the research. Right. You go, wow, that's really crazy. Yeah. How about in terms of dementia and Alzheimer's disease? Oh, yeah. It's absolutely. Now, it doesn't do anything once you're there, right? It's sort of like, you know, my dad used to always harp on me, you know, about saving and doing the things that, because you do that ahead of time before there's a problem, right? You don't wait till you're 67 to go, I think I'll retire. Oh my gosh, but I don't have any money. They used to always say that to me. You start now. I was 16 years old and the dude was making me save, right? He goes, because you're going to be 65 before you know it, sir. And I was like, oh, that's depressing, Dad, right? But it is, right? So he made me start early, right? Which is an amazing thing. So when we do vitamin D, I want to start long before I have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I get osteoporosis, does this significantly help osteoporosis? Significantly. right? Where we want to make sure that we get it. So taking calcium and magnesium is great, but we have to have the vitamin D to actually have those things be functional in the body, right? And if your vitamin D status is where it needs to be, you're pretty much not going to get osteoporosis.
Let me cut in real quick. Sometimes we allow our listeners to call in with a question. I don't know. Would you like to take a question? We've got a couple minutes.
I love questions.
Okay, let's make it quick. We got a couple minutes. We're going to go ahead and turn to the phone lines. And go ahead, caller.
I got a question for you. When I spend a lot of time in the sun throughout the day, and do you have any idea how much vitamin D I would be absorbing within maybe 2 or 3 hours of sunlight a day?
Well, 2 or 3 hours is actually a great deal. As long as you're not burning, it's still safe, right? If you get red and you burn, don't do that.
Well, I don't get red. I got a nice tan. That's it.
Okay, as long as you don't burn, that's our hazard. No. And it's literally tens of thousands of units that are actually...
I'm probably getting more than what I also take it in pill form, too, but I'm probably getting more than what I'm getting in the pill form then, right?
Oh, significantly. So if you're getting that much sunlight regularly, that's a great question. Because the body, actually, I could be out for 5 hours, and if I'm not burning, my body has its regulatory mechanisms that will only produce so much, and it'll stop. It's very safe.
Now the second question, because I know if I don't get sunlight, my body seems to like fall apart. Okay,
yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm like a solar cell.
I like
the second question. Second question I heard is that you don't want to take a shower right away or whatnot because you'll wash it off your skin. They said it takes about 16 hours to absorb through your body. Is that true?
I love that. That's absolutely true.
Yep. So in other words, I just basically, if I'm getting sunlight all day long, I'll just have to kind of stink going to bed, right, in order to absorb it?
Not really. Yeah. The 16 hours isn't necessary when I do that. And if I've been out there, last weekend, wow, was it hot. And I perspired a great deal. Well, I didn't shower for probably 4 or 5 hours, and then I took a shower.
Is that good enough?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you'll absorb a significant quantity.
So 4 or 5 hours, you should be able to, like, if you get in the morning, you should be good to go in the evening to
absolutely.
Take a shower?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate it. I know the sun helps me out a lot. We don't have time to go through it all, but it's a wonderful thing.
It absolutely is. I agree completely. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Very good.
So and other things that we have as well, so many people, I hate to use the word worry, but get concerned about cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, are there studies that show that in the broad spectrum of different cancers, even up to a 60% reduction in cancer risk? Yeah. And we have one study that actually looked at ladies with breast cancer, and the ladies, again, under 20. Right, we're 84% more likely to get breast cancer than the ladies who are at 60 and above.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
What do you call that again? Nanoliters?
Nanograms.
Nanograms, okay.
Per deciliter.
So you're not talking about age, you're talking about nanograms say 20.
Absolutely.
Someone just tuned in.
Doesn't matter what our age is. I mean, that's significant stuff. But there are 16 different cancers, from prostate to lung to breast to colon to pancreatic. It's 16 different cancers that we currently have documented. That this will actually diminish the risk of that. And there's no downside to this. And there's no cost. I mean, it is literally the cheapest supplement you can purchase. It is just cheap, right? And it is so safe. And the one thing we have to do, please don't think that you're taking it, you're going to be okay. We looked at one study that was looking at certain cancers, and it was actually published in a very prestigious journal called The Lancet. It's a British medical journal, and it's very prestigious, great, great journal. Right, and it literally was showing these cancers that they would reduce from 20 to 25, the person would have this level versus people under 20. It would go down further from 25 to 30 in the blood. From 30 to 35, it would go down even further. From 35 to 40, down even further. From 40 to 45, down even further. Again, exhibiting that dose-dependent response. Now, once you got up to 60 and went beyond that, there was no benefit. But the higher it went up to that 60 level, the lower and lower and lower the risk of those cancers would go. How fantastic is that?
It's incredible.
It's incredible, right? So we want to make sure that we're doing this as well as, will it help protect us against, everything's indicating against the COVID thing. It indicates that, I don't have direct data that says it, but based on the respiratory factors that we have from previous studies, fantastic. And if you get it, if you're optimized, is your likelihood of a mild case going to be pretty much guaranteed? Absolutely. As well as decreased risk of cancer, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, brain dementia, blah, blah, blah. Right? Let me count the ways. Right. So that's why we harp on this a little bit, because it's the cheapest, safest, and one of the most effective strategies we can get to enjoy vitality.
And if you have any more questions, of course, we couldn't get to the other callers there today, but we appreciate your time and being with us. Contact Dr. Terlep yourself. He'd be more than happy to hear from you at drterlep.com. That's drterlep.com. Until then, every Wednesday, 11:30 to 12, your 30 minutes to vitality with Dr. Tim Terlep, Terlep Chiropractic.
Let not your heart be troubled.
We'll see you next time, folks.